Hey, what's up? It's Andy from Black Veil Brides, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
What's up, y'all? This is Lee with Pop Evil, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks!
Hey, everybody, this is Art from the band Everclear, and you are listening to Iron City Rocks.
Welcome to episode 532 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 532, we are pleased to welcome to the show from the band Everclear, founder and frontman Art Alikakis, who is coming in to do a show with the band Everclear, obviously, on the 23rd of May at Jurgles. Art and I talk in pretty good detail about the band's latest live album, which was actually recorded in late 2022, December 1st to be precise, at a show they did at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, and then was released in 2023. If you have not had a chance to listen to it, we're going to play you just a taste in a moment. Then we'll get into the interview with Art, talk all about what you can expect from the live show, what went into making the live record, and what are the band's kind of plans for the future. So without further ado, we're going to play a little Everclear and then Art Alikakis.
Yeah, I used to know a girl. She had two pair of stipples in her. She drank that Mexican beer. We live on Mexican food. Yeah, wish I could go back.
Gentlemen, my pleasure to welcome to Iron City Rocks. We have on the line Art from Everclear. How you doing, Art?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for taking the time to do this. You guys are going to be rolling into town here on the 23rd of May to do a show at Jurgles. Ought to be I can't imagine how packed that show will be that night. And you guys are coming off of a really cool live album recorded at the Whiskey. Can you talk a little bit about doing kind of a live album and your approach to that? You're kind of putting a show together that is sort of a time capsule. Even I think sometimes more so than a studio album. Sometimes the live album is really that snapshot in time. How was that for you as a musician?
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for the call, by the way, and the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we're excited to come back to Jurgles, man. It's always a great show. That place just packs out, and everyone there treats us great, and just love being anywhere in or about Pittsburgh, it's always a great time. The live album, I like your analogy there about the time capsules. Like, it's a lot of bands that I grew up with, like, they'd have different live albums at different times in their career. And like Rush, for example, they have all the ones stage, and then they get stage left, and then they have another one later. That just really concentrated not solely on the albums that have just come out, but for a big touring band, that's really exciting. And touring, because of the way the record industry has gone in the last few years, bands like us, heritage bands, bands that have been around and have a following, that's how we make a living. We don't make a living off selling records anymore. It used to be you toured to support your record, right? Sure. And now, these days, you put out a record as an additional thing to support your tour. That's how it works. And we're constantly doing flyaway dates like this, and we're doing a bus tour in the fall. We could talk about that later. But, yeah, getting a chance to make this live album with this band, with this version of the band, and these guys have been with me, some of them for 20 years, 15, 16 years, and we're just tight as heck. You can hear the record. We did one show, and because you've been in the business for a while, usually when people do live records, right?
Yeah.
They do two or three shows, and they pick maybe more, and they pick the tracks from that. I knew this was going to be one show, and I told the label that wanted to do it that I'm going to pay for the recording of it. I'm bringing my people in. If I like it, I'll give it to you, and we can license it. If not, it's going away.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to get. And we got a great show, and there's no pro tooling, very little of any kind of like sequencing or anything on it, on the record, just to clean it up to make it sound brighter a little bit. But other than that, what you get is what you hear is what you get. There's notes that are wrong, there's beats that are wrong, but to me, that's rock and roll.
Yeah.
I really feel like a lot of people with the technology really are kind of taking the guts out of rock and roll. It's exciting when there's mistakes, because it's human and it's fun.
Yeah.
And to me, a lot of the mistakes are brilliant mistakes, It's like, you're being a musician, you're being an artist, and you're trying things, and sometimes you get there, sometimes you don't.
Absolutely. From a fan standpoint, it's encouraging. Like, I listen to It's Alive from the Ramones, some of these live albums that you almost like the fact, especially now that you kind of know that a lot of live albums were not really live, that you kind of love the impurities of it because you knew it was legit. Nice. You go back and listen to some of the great live albums, and you're like, they must have sounded so incredible live, and then someone will sneak a bootleg of from the real show at Cobo Hall, and you're like, oh, this doesn't quite sound like what Eddie Kramer made it sound like. So a mic squeak or a flub note is almost like a badge of honor in a live album, that you have the integrity and the pride in what you do to put it out raw. That says a lot about it.
Well, thank you for saying that. And man, you just nailed it. I mean, a lot of those records that you and I grew up with, and we're thinking of the same records, the Alive records, They're great and they inspired a lot of people, but Frampton Comes Alive, there's a lot of live records out there that are not very live.
Yeah.
But my favorite live albums, and you're talking about It's Alive, and I love that. I think of the opening of that. This is called
yeah.
I just love them when they talk, because that Long Island accent is so strong, you can barely hear what Joey Ramone is saying.
Yeah.
And, but like Live at Leeds by The Who, I love that record.
Yeah.
Budokan. You listen to the Rob Budokan tracks, they're pretty great, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? It's talking about Cheap Trick, is that fall of 2022, we were in England, and my bass player, Freddie, him and I, and all the band are huge Cheap Trick fans, and he got this new release that was Cheap Trick in March of 1977 at the Roxy, right?
So it's before
In Color came out. It was off the first record. You hear a lot of the songs, and they were just on fire, man. They were just like literally on fire. But it's live. You can hear people talking. You can hear glasses clinking. You can hear like notes, like guitar things start and they stop and then they start again. And it's exciting because it's like being at a live show.
Yeah.
And about 5 days after that, this is in early November, when I got home, I got a call from a friend of mine who was a record label. He used to work for Capitol back in the day. And he's like, "You want to do an album?" I go, "No, I don't want to make a record. I don't want to write and make a record. Mm-hmm. I'll do a song here and there, but I don't want to do that." He goes, "What about a live album at you're playing the Whiskey?" I'm like, "Oh,
yeah."
I turned into Scooby Doo.
Yeah, Shaggy.
And I'm like, "Okay, I'll do it, but I'm going to pay for it. And I'm going to bring my guys in to record it. And if I like it, I'll give it to you guys and you can put it out." And it came out pretty great. So,
or when you're in the dressing room, you know you've got the truck, you've got the mics, you've got, you know, obviously you're used to the fans. You know, anybody who's seen you guys live knows what to expect. But and you're used to a recording studio. But you know, this is kind of like both worlds coming together. You know, is it stressful for you, or are you able to kind of put that out of your head?
I think it's stressful, but I think a lot of the stress in life is good stress if you're doing things that are bigger than, you know, just sitting on your couch, right?
Yeah.
And it's important to me, and we can talk about that in a minute, why I try to put myself out into the world in the band, and we don't shy away from things. And yeah, we were a little anxious, but we turned it into energy, and we just went out there, and I knew that if it didn't come out great, okay, I was out a couple of grand.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's much cheaper to record now than it was. You don't have the Rolling Stones mobile unit out there anymore. Now every club is set up for it right off the board. You just have to hook up your equipment. I have my co-producer and engineer and partner in crime, Jim Kaufman, come in, and he brought his stuff and he mic'd everything. And I just felt like we're going to do, you know, a bunch of tracks, and hopefully we're going to do about 20 tracks, and hopefully we can get about 15. And we did. That sounded great. And very little tweaking, very little tuning, very little processing after the fact. And there was a lot of times when Jim would be like, "Do you want me to, redo the vocal on this? Because you go a little flat here." I go, "No, leave it, man. I'm singing with attitude, and the harmony sound great, and just, you know, it's rock and roll. Just go."
It's the energy in the room, which I think is one thing that really jumps out of the speaker on that album, is just the energy in the room when you're doing that. I mentioned about being apprehensive and knowing you're doing a live record, but does the fact that every night you go on stage that someone's got a cell phone pointed at you kind of almost make you numb to it? You know you're being recorded constantly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit of that. The eyes and the ears are everywhere these days, right? And I personally don't have a problem with it because I'm not doing anything bad.
Right.
I'm not doing anything wrong. The people that complain about that are usually people that are up to no good. And I have been that guy in my life many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think you get used to it. And, you know, I don't do that when I go to shows because I want to be in the moment, man. I want to be there. I don't want to be thinking about that. And I think that's one of the one of the problems that all this social media and all this technology have brought. I think a lot of it is good, and I think a lot of it is bad. And I think it takes people out of the moment.
You're absolutely
and
right.
It's more exciting to be in the moment. And I think not just the music, but I think that's more of a rock and roll lifestyle of living for the moment.
Yeah.
Planning for the future, but living for the moment, being in the moment, and living for the moment is two different things. So, we went out there, we got sweat, we swaggered with it, had a couple of technical things go wrong, but we fixed them, and it came out. I love how loud the crowd is, and we had great crowd sounds, and it just sounds exciting to me to listen to that record when I hear it.
Yeah, it certainly does, and that's, I think, what's really cool with it is that it feels like, boy, you know, I listen to that and go, boy, I wish I was in that room that night, you know, to hear that performance, you know. And thankfully, you're bringing it around the country and people can see you guys in person. But it's a great representation of the band and, you know, I think really, really something to be proud of. So congratulations.
I agree.
When
I concur.
The dates you're doing coming up, I mean, can we expect a fairly similar set list, or how much do you monkey with that kind of night to night, you know, the mood moves you to, you know, kind of mix it up?
Pretty similar set list. I mean, we're going to mix it up a lot for the fall tour because we're celebrating, it's not an anniversary tour, but we're celebrating 25 years of our album, Songs from American Movie Volume 1, Learning How to Smile, and we're actually, we got Capitol and another label to, Capitol let us put it out on vinyl for the first time.
Nice.
Because when it came out, it was in our contract that they had to put it out on vinyl. They put World of Noise, our first record, was a licensed Sparkle and Fade, which had, you know, Heroin Girl and Santa Monica on it. And then our third album, So Much for the Afterglow, which had a bunch of hits on it, Father of Mine, New Life, Everything to Everyone. And then they were supposed to do it for the fourth record, which had AM Radio and Wonderful, and they wouldn't do it. They said, no, we're not doing it. Sue us.
Yeah.
Sure. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay. So it's coming out on yellow virgin vinyl. It's going to sound awesome. It'll be out by the tour. But we're going to be playing some songs off that. But to answer your question, you can almost say it's like when we play Jurgles, it'd be a lot of this set, but with the caveat that people can request songs, you know, like deeper songs, by hitting us up on social media. And we always leave about three or four songs that we can put requests into.
Is that fun for you to kind of delve into some of the, you know, the I don't want to say not hits, but, you know, maybe a catalog track, you know, some stuff that maybe you have to, what was the chord sequence of this one? Or, you know, I need a piece of paper with the lyrics because it's been 25 years since I sang this one. Do you kind of like that, you know, mixing it up?
Yeah, we do. I mean, a lot of times people will ask for songs we haven't played in a while or have never played. Mm-hmm. And if we have time to, like, you know, sound check it during sound check, like, run through it a couple of times, then we can do it. But we have a pretty good repertoire of songs from the 240 songs that Everclear's recorded. I think we go pretty deep that we can pull up a lot of songs and that we know, you know. And it might be something like, okay, cool, you know, someone will ask for it for, say, the Dribble show, and we've got like a few weeks before that. So during sound check, me or my bass player, Freddie, will have a listen. Hey, man, let's run through rock star, or let's run through, Twist Inside or mm-hmm. something. It's more of a fan favorite, a deeper song that someone requested. And we'll tighten it up, get it ready.
Awesome. Well, Art, I want to thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak to us. You'll be here later in May. It'll be just a couple of weeks at this point at Jurgles on the 23rd. Ought to be an awesome night, and can't recommend enough that people go out and get the live album from the Whiskey. It's just a great time, and like I said, it's just a great snapshot of the band. And I've always been we talked about Alive. I think Alive was kind of the album that got me into albums. So I've always had a soft spot for live stuff, and especially when it's really live. And that's exactly what you guys did. So thank you so much, Art. I appreciate it.
All the best, man. Thank you for your time, John. You will.
I am still living with your lonely dreaming of the West Coast. You gotta sing it. I don't wanna be your. My big black boots and an old suitcase. Do believe I find myself a new place. I don't wanna be the bad guy. I don't wanna do your sleepwalk dance anymore. I just wanna see some palm tree. Go away, try to shake your disease. Yes, we could live beside the ocean. Leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breakers. Watch the world die. We could live beside the ocean. Leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breakers. Watch the world die. Are you guys still with me? Are you guys still with me? I am still dreaming of your faith. Hungry and hollow, all the things you took away. I don't wanna be your good time. I don't wanna be your fall back crutch anymore. Walk right out to a brand new day.
Thank you to Art Alikakis of Everclear for coming on the show and doing this. Appreciate him talking to me about the Whiskey A Go-Go live record, which is available now, and also the May 23rd show at Jurgles Rhythm Grill in Warrendale. If you go to ironcityrocks.com and go in the show notes for episode 532, we will have a link for you to get tickets. Ought to be a fantastic night.
And also, we invite you to check out our social media. All of them are Iron City Rocks. You can drop us an email at ironcityrocks@gmail.com. Let us know what kind of music you're into. You like the 90s grunge, rock, metal, blues, death metal. You let us know what you're into. We'd love to hear from you guys on some directions we can take Iron City Rocks, some artists maybe we have not covered that you'd love to hear from, like Everclear. I mean, here we are 15 years into this, and this is the first time we've had Everclear on the show. So let us know what you're into. We appreciate the feedback and always appreciate your time listening. Thank you so much.